Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready for a football season,
kid? I am ready.
Turns out, hell yeah, I'm ready for a football season.
I was not expecting that yesterday.
No, I clearly was not.
Well, you clearly were.
I'm sadly out of the Survivor League 2024, week one to week one.
Is there a week one buyback? There should be a week one buyback.
No, I'm done. Because if anybody else was out and I was still in, I'd be like, you can't come back in. You dared pick against the Patriots. What is wrong with you? Yeah, I did not see that coming. That was the biggest upset on the board, even available in the NFL in week one.
Yeah.
And they win this sucker outright. Maybe the biggest upset the Patriots as a franchise have had since Super Bowl 36.
Yes.
Right?
I would say.
Because really, after Super Bowl 36, they were almost never underdogs.
No.
They were like favored in like every game until the last couple of years. And 7.5 on the road against a Bengals team, which... Again, let's focus more on giving credit to the Patriots. They didn't seem all that ready to play, but it's still a win over Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
like that is a real feather in your cap.
It's the biggest Week One upset since 2018, when the Bucs upset the Saints as 10-point underdogs. Cincinnati was 7.5 points, is where it finished. It was higher going into the week.
Yep.
Obviously, I had the questions with Chase. T. Higgins didn't play. Joe Burrow still doesn't look totally healthy. But I agree. It's a day to give the Patriots credit. And you can do that all day here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI, 617-779-7937. A lot of ways you can get in touch here with Jones and Keith. We'll talk to a couple members of the Patriots here on a Patriots Monday. Hunter Henry, Jawan Bentley, part of that bone-crushing defense yesterday for the Patriots. We'll also get some national perspective from Andrew Whitworth. He's part of the Thursday Night Football crew on Amazon.
And a former Bengal.
That's true. Yeah. So maybe we'll get some good Cincinnati insight, maybe some broadcast insight on Tom Brady and how he did. That's in the 11 o'clock hour. So a lot in store for you today, but wide open on the phones. You want to talk Patriots, this is the spot to do it. And I'm with you, Keith. I don't know if the Patriots played an incredible game, but they played buttoned up, turnover free. I was worried they were going to be completely undisciplined. The first kickoff of the year.
First play of the game.
First play of the Mayo era.
Couldn't line up right.
They can't line up. I'm like, here we go.
Boy.
This is going to be just a debacle.
Yeah. Nope.
And they were buttoned up.
They were great.
They were well coached. They were largely disciplined. I think they were flagged for more penalties than Cincinnati. They didn't turn it over. They made a couple of huge plays defensively. Fourth down stops. Turnovers on top of it. Brissett was decent. He was even scrambling around a little bit, which even shocked Jerod Mayo.
He could scoot.
As I heard this morning.
He was surprised.
Ramondre Stevenson was awesome.
Yep.
The Bengals were bad. They look like they're borderline boycotting and pissed about the contracts, but put that to the side. The offensive line was good.
Yeah,
the Patriots were way, way, way better than any of us expected. And they, for a week anyways, they deserve credit for that.
I got something to say to both Jerod Mayo and Alex Van Pelt.
What's that?
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
I didn't see this coming. And I know it's not like they lit up the scoreboard or anything, but I give Jerod Mayo specifically a ton of credit because he's not in charge of the roster. He inherited a bad roster. We can quibble with the moves we liked and didn't like in the offseason. Their most valuable asset was the number 3 overall pick, and he didn't play in the game.
Nope.
We've talked quite a bit about that.
Yes.
So he didn't play in the game. So
I mean, their second-round pick barely played in the game.
Yeah, true. So Gerard Mayo took a 4-win team from last year and brought them into Cincinnati week one. He knows they don't have a high-scoring, high-flying offense, and he and Alex Van Pelt kind of cooked it up. The offensive line looked so much better than anybody would have imagined based on preseason, the practice reports, and everything else. Just the names that were there. You don't even have all the guys that you want with City So being out. So you're like, oh, Brissett's going to get killed. No, he didn't. He picked up a bunch of first downs with his legs. They dominated just some of those long possessions that they had. They had a kicker who was drilling his kicks. And what really jumped out was how Bill Belichick was always all about defense and special teams, right? Sometimes we'd almost pull our hair out. He was so obsessed with defense and special teams. Yeah. And yet, over the last 5 or 6 years, the special teams was a mess. Remember how many penalties? They were giving up kick return touchdowns. They were kind of a mess. And even the defense kind of feasted on bad quarterbacks and weren't very good against good quarterbacks. Well, they allowed 10 points to Joe Burrow. Ja'Marr Chase played, right? We can talk about whether he's pouting or not, but he played. He's one of the best receivers in the league. They allowed 10 points, and they controlled that whole game. I did not see that one coming. Like the two sides worked so well together, meaning the offense, kind of these long established drives where they just ran the ball. They told you they were going to run it, and they did. But then the defense looks like a tough defense to play against.
Well, and so stick with Mayo for a second, because even that offensive line, the plan was to play Chukwuma for at left tackle. Coaches benched him. They benched him 12 snaps in or whatever it was. They went to Vidarian Lowe, which I wouldn't have signed up for.
Scary, you would have thought.
If you told me that before the game, that 12 snaps in, it's all Vidarian Lowe at left tackle because the Chukwuma 4 experiment failed, I would say, well, they got blown out.
Mm-hmm.
They made a coaching adjustment, and the offensive line was way better than anticipated. I think Brissett had to run for his life a little bit. He got hit a couple of times.
Yeah.
But that is, at bare minimum, an average offensive line based on that performance, and certainly a lot better than we expected.
And they have a couple good pass rushers on Cincinnati's side.
Yeah. Hendrickson was a monster yesterday.
Hendrickson's good. So they have a couple guys going after him. And the O-line wasn't the biggest issue. Was it one sack in the entire game? Like that was pretty good. What was the over-under probably going into the game? Like 4.5 somewhere in there?
I did TV on Friday night. The over-under for the season, Keith.
Yeah.
I was asked 48. Three a game was the over-under. I think they gave up something close to that last year. 48, 49,
yeah,
something like that last year.
I would have taken the over ahead of time.
Yeah.
And, it was professional. But not only that, you got to say they're good at run blocking. Because Ramondre Stevenson, who, monster game for him.
Yep.
Because his importance was showcased right out of the rip. And we were talking about how, if Alex Van Pelt is taking anything from his days in Cleveland, even though he wasn't calling the plays, but he was the offensive coordinator, we're like, well, they had Nick Chubb and they had a really good offensive line. It's like, all right, well, Ramondre Stevenson and Gerard Mayo on his Mayo Monday appearance this morning was really talking up Ramondre Stevenson, one of the best backs in the
league.
Call
him a top 10 back. He did it yesterday after the game, too.
I mean, a game like yesterday would sort of point you in that direction, wouldn't it? I mean, he looked as good as anybody. Some of it, yeah, was the block, but there are other times where he's just making guys miss or he's like initiating the contact and picking up a few extra yards. He could be elusive. So it was a great all-around game from Ramondre Stevenson. And this had to have been the game plan for them. Like going in, even though idiots like me are like, no chance they win, I'm sure Mayo, Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington, credit to him, probably got together and were like, all right, how are we going to win this game? And it's exactly what they did.
No. And Mayo now a couple of times, and they're paying him like he's a top 10 back, so he should be a top 10 back. But Mayo a couple of times after the game yesterday, this morning with the Greg Hill Show, and if you missed any of it, check it out on the Odyssey app. Check it out on YouTube. Yep. Subscribe to WEEI. It's there. It's available for you. I'm going to let you know. You got to set aside like a half an hour to hear it. But I thought Mayo was great.
Good stuff.
I thought he was very interesting, very candid. And obviously feeling good about the win, which he should. And so that's worth a listen on the Odyssey app and on YouTube if you didn't hear it this morning. But he also talked about how they're going to play defense. And I agree with you, Keith. They usually feasted on terrible quarterback play the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Feasted on bad teams, bad quarterbacks. Yesterday, I felt like they hit the crap out of Cincinnati. And to me, this is how they won the game yesterday. And we'll take all your thoughts on it. What was the key? How did they win? What was the biggest factor in the victory? Was it managing the football? Was it playing with an edge? Was it establishing the run? Was it Mayo's impact? Again, you can jump in at 617-779-7937. They set a tone on defense. The Bengals didn't have a first down until the second quarter.
Yeah, crazy.
They hit the crap out of them. Mm-hmm. Duggar stripping Hudson, and that was Hudson reaching out at the end zone going in.
Yeah, yeah.
Duggar stripping Jasicki. I liked your tweet about
how I was like, come on.
You should get a flag if you do the gritty when you don't catch a touchdown.
No, you dropped it. You dropped it. Gasicki's horrible.
He's bad. Then
you're like, oh my God. You almost forgot that he was even on
the Patriots.
I was like,
man, where was this when you were on New England? And then they showed the replay, and I'm like, right.
There he
is. That's the guy. That's the Gasicki I knew.
Man, without T. Higgins, though, and again, I'm very positive on the Patriots today, but without T. Higgins and with a sad sack Jamar Chase, you're like, who's Burrow throwing to?
Yeah.
Some dude I've never heard of. Two washed tight ends. Two not great running backs.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're going to be fine. I think it's a big checkmark win and a big, like, you know, at the end of the season, you're like, well, they did beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. I think it's going to look good. But no T. Higgins, there is a bit of a drop-off there.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think they hit the snot out of him.
Yeah, they did.
I give Mayo and Covington a lot of credit for that. Like, I thought, and I did not think the world of Bill last year. I wanted Bill out. I thought they would improve without Bill. We'll see if that's actually the case. Through 1 week, it looks like they're going to, but we'll see. It's a long way to go.
Yep.
But I always thought that defense was a little overrated, and I even thought they'd come back to the pack a little bit. No Judon, no Barmore. And it's like, how are they going to do that?
No.
Well, they did it yesterday with Tone and Edge, and I imagine that starts with Mayo. He's got the guys, as Devon Godchow said late last week, ready to run through a wall for him. They tackled?
Jonathan Jones tackle on third down was insane. I was like, is that the same guy?
It was like the play on Thursday night where Zay Flowers got dropped against Kansas City. It was the exact same thing.
Yeah, that was
They go
great.
For it on fourth down. Jones smacks the crap out of him. And so I thought that was the key. Did the Bengals break a tackle yesterday?
I don't think so.
I don't remember if they did.
Special teams or defense, it seemed like they were completely buttoned up. I mean, that was great.
So I didn't see that coming. I thought offensively they would improve a little bit, and they were nothing to write home about, but they were competent on offense. They were functional on offense. That defense, to me, not dropping off and playing with more of an edge and setting a tone against Joe Burrow, even a shorthanded Joe Burrow. That, to me, is why they won. I did not expect that at all.
No, it was 100% on the defense, and then Ramondre Stevenson, right? Because Jacoby Brissett did what he needed to do, and I don't know how many games this year, you know, and texters are pointing this out, and I agree. Like, 16 points in the NFL week in and week out is not going to win you a ton of games.
No.
Right? Like, you scored one touchdown. Now, you allowed one touchdown. Now, the way this defense is, who knows? There might be a bunch of weeks where they allow one touchdown, maybe two. And if you allow two touchdowns, like, that's still a pretty good game. But if you're only coming back with, you know, scored one of your own, that's going to be a problem. But Ramondre Stevenson, at least, you know, for years now, we've been talking about, do they have any you know, weapons, or they have any dangerous players on offense, or if you are an opposing defensive coordinator, who are you even worried about? And unfortunately, like, since Brady left, they didn't have anybody. It was like, hey, just show up and play football. And now it's probably Ramondre Stevenson. And, you know, because he can also catch passes too, but for the most part, they're just handing him the ball, 25 carries, making guys miss. That's somebody that teams are going to have to be worried about.
Okay, and Mayo said this a couple of times in just that interview with Greg this morning. We're going to run the football and people have to stop us. And that's what the Patriots did. 2:13 remaining. The Pats got the ball back after Cincinnati didn't go for it on fourth down in their own end. Did you have a problem with that?
I was surprised. Okay. I mean, I know not much was cooking, but it was like, all right, it's one possession game.
It's like, you're going to go for it on fourth and five at midfield with a lot of time left in the game. When was that even the first half? When did they go for it on fourth down? Was that early second half? I need to double check the time on that. But they went for it on fourth down earlier in the game. You're basically at the end of the game. You're running out of timeouts. You're running out of time, and you don't go for it on fourth down? I thought that was a little interesting. But anyway, 2:13 remaining. Patriots get the ball back. They're under center with three tight ends, four snaps.
Mm-hmm.
The whole stadium knows it's coming. Patriots are still able to do what they need to do. And I'm reading from Phil Perry here. 5-yard run, 9-yard run, 3-yard run, 9-yard run, game over.
That was it.
The whole stadium knew they were running, and Stevenson ran it right up their backside. He was dragging tacklers. And so I do think, again, that tone, that edge, ready to run through a wall for Mayo, that's different than what we saw for Bill the last couple of years. I know people would say Bill didn't lose the locker room. He didn't have the locker room, and he didn't have the team like Mayo had them yesterday. And again, it's early. We're already getting texts, 37937. It's week one. Relax. They'll come back to earth pretty fast.
Yeah, probably, but I mean, I'm going to give him credit for this one. Like, we are always going to react to what we just saw. Well, we did it in the preseason. We're going to do it in the regular season. So when they win a game against it, and especially for me, like, I didn't think they had a chance. They were 7.5-point dogs. And so for them to come out and win, I think we can talk up the positives that were. Doesn't mean they're going 17-0.
No.
Right? But also,
well, what I was just going to say, what
are they going 1-16? No. Probably not.
No, no. They weren't favored in any games. They already won one. And yeah. So I'm not ready to say they're, forget 17-0, a 10-win team, a playoff team. But could they be 7-8, a 7 or 8 win team and scrappy and a team you don't want to play and a team that gets better as the year goes along? I think that's in play. And I think, not to get ahead of ourselves, Keith, on a Monday,
yeah,
a Patriots Monday, and a long way to go until next week, I've thought all along Seattle's a very, very, very winnable game in their home opener. So,
yeah,
there's a chance they're 2-0.
Yeah, out of the first four, actually, the first six games, which are all pretty difficult, I thought the most winnable was this one upcoming against Seattle. You know, maybe I should have put more stock into Cincinnati starting the year slow under Zachary Taylor. That's been an obvious thing, I guess. And then Ja'Marr Chase. Like, what a roller coaster it's been for Ja'Marr Chase. And Christian Gonzalez locked him up. Gonzalez was great when he was covering him.
That's our guy.
But Ja'Marr Chase, practice, not practice, holding in. Now he's there, going to get a deal done, doesn't have a deal, going to play, but he's going to pout the entire game. He was just a sad sack throughout the whole game. So if he doesn't have a contract by week two, this is sort of a side topic, you think he's going to play again? He probably shouldn't. Like, he didn't seem like he was interested at all.
I was a little surprised he played week one. I was
because
he had like the food poisoning or whatever he claimed.
Oh, yeah,
he had,
right.
The
then
downgrade.
He had the health thing that popped up.
So I thought that was his excuse to not play. I was a little surprised he even played.
Yeah,
to be honest.
They looked like a mess, and I do think part of that though is the Patriots defense. Like, they had guys flying around. Keon White, who was one of the guys that we sort of highlighted, right? That's one of the guys you wanted to watch, just all season long. Awesome, awesome start. Gonzo, who only played 3.5 games last year, matched him up with a true number one receiver for most of the game. Played well.
You want the numbers?
Yeah, of course.
20 routes for Chase, where Gonzalez was lined up on him. 7 in man coverage, 3 catches, 15 yards.
Yeah, that's pretty great. That's pretty great. And then Juwan Bentley, who's going to join us coming up in a little bit. He was on the field for every play. Their safeties played well. You know, Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar, they were on the field for every single snap. So, yeah, that's a big – and that's also a big confidence-boosting win, too. A road win against an all-pro quarterback. Like, slice it up any other – like, they don't care that Ja'Marr Chase is holding in or that T. Higgins is hurt.
No.
It's Joe Burrow on the road, and you go in there and get the win. You hold him to one touchdown, and it's not even a passing touchdown. Well, that's pretty great.
So all your thoughts on the Patriots, 617-779-7937. Are we overreacting? Should we pump the brakes? Mayo warned us to pump the brakes a couple of different times. What'd you think of Jacoby Brissett, by the way? Is that enough on offense? Real quick, Keith. How'd you feel about Brissett week one, day one?
So my bar for Brissett was very low.
Well, your bar for the season was very low.
For the
low,
team
but
is very low.
Yes.
I thought the best thing he did was pick up a few first downs with his legs.
Agreed.
And that's something that we thought Drake May could do better than him. It probably is something Drake May can do better than him. But there were some crucial, like, is Cincinnati going to force a punt here? Oh, nope. This way they can eat 2 more minutes off the clock. So he ran the ball pretty well. What did it end up being, like 30-something yards?
Yeah, 32.
32 yards. So, like, that was pretty good. I mean, he got away with one. He tried to throw a pick in the end zone, which would have been pretty costly, but Hunter Henry made a great play on it. I mean, he went 15-24 for .121, and they scored one touchdown as an offense. So I'm very high on the game, but Jacoby Brissett was maybe as advertised, slightly better, because I didn't think he was going to run.
So I agree 100%. He didn't turn it over. That's key.
Yep.
But he could have turned it over if Henry didn't bail him out. The best thing about his day is he's more mobile than I expected. I did not expect him to move as well as he did. And that is a way to hold off Drake May a little bit. If they're winning, you heard it with Mayo this morning. If they're winning, he doesn't want to hear questions about Drake May.
Yeah, that's not the formula to come back in a game.
No.
Like, if you're like the Buffalo Bills or the Miami Dolphins who are trailing and then they have like those offenses, they can come back. This team probably can't do it. You play from ahead. That's what a lot of teams actually have to do. Did you hear the crazy stat that Mike Reese had?
Ooh, I don't know.
The Patriots' longest play on offense.
I did not see it.
Was 17 yards.
Okay.
Making them the first team to win in week one without a 20-yard play since 2015.
It's like a different league.
It is. Like, it's insane. Like, and so as you're watching the game, you're like, all right, well, nothing's really going downfield. And Ramondre would rip off some good runs, but for, you know, like 7-8-yard kind of runs, you're like, oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, second and short, that kind of thing. They didn't have any long plays at all. Then they win the game, and you don't really realize that, oh, wait a minute, every single team for the last, what, 9 years in football has had at least a 20-yard play and won a game.
Yeah.
So, like, that part of it's crazy. I don't think that is sustainable as far as, like, that offensive performance and winning week in and week out, but it was enough to win this week, and that's the most important thing.
So, what'd you think of Brissett? What'd you think of the Pats? Can they keep winning this way? Are we overreacting? Is 2-0 in play? All that on the table for you on a Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. We have Trending with Billy Lanny, and when we come back, the Patriots, are they better off without Bill Belichick? That's next.
It was special. It was special. And, you know, I just want to thank, you know, the Kraft family, Robert, Jonathan, all of them, Danny, all those guys, Josh, just for the opportunity and really for not really, you know, getting in the middle of anything that we do football-wise. They've pretty much turned the keys over to Elliot and myself and the rest of the staff. And I'm just appreciative of the opportunity. And I'm glad that, you know, we came in here today and represented the Crafts in a good light.
Jerod Mayo following his first victory as head coach of the New England Patriots. He's only the fifth Patriots head coach to win their first game. Bill didn't do that.
How do you like that?
It was Pete Carroll, Ron Meyer, Dick McPherson. I'm trying to remember who the other
one. One of the best ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who the other one was now off the top of my head.
Love it.
But he's only the fifth one to do it. And yeah.
Not,
you know,
Parcells, right? Because he had the Bills. Remember, we were talking about Bledsoe last week.
Not Parcells.
Yeah.
Again, definitely not Bill Belichick. They win in Cincinnati yesterday. It's the same place where the Crafts got their first win as owner of the Patriots way back when. So a good win yesterday for the Patriots, 16-10. We're going to talk to Hunter Henry on a Patriots Monday here on WEEI. Momentarily.
Yes.
He's going to join us here right out of the chute on Jones and Keefe. We're going to talk to Juwan Bentley a little after noontime. So mark those down in our football coverage here on Jones and Keefe. Brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We're already getting some texts here, 37937. It's obviously beat up Bill Day at WEEI.
No, it's not.
Between Chris Curtis, who we'll get to this in misleading,
okay,
coming up at 11:45.
Right.
Chris, I guess, was really hammering home the Patriots are better off without Bill.
All right. Well, they are 1-0.
It says you clowns, are beating up on him. It's absolutely sickening.
Ouch.
Here's what I'll give to Mayo, and you said this right off the top, Keith. They had the number 3 pick, didn't play a snap, Drake May. Let me double-check what Jalen Polk actually played for snaps. I know he had one catch for 6 yards. Which outproduced Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, my God. Which, I know my guy Harrison Jr. Didn't
which I feel pretty
Polk
good about.
Polk had 54% of the snaps.
Oh, so that's actually a lot more than I thought.
Yeah, 35 out of the 65 Polk was out there for.
Okay, he didn't do much when he was out there.
No, well, they didn't throw the ball much.
No, fair.
You know?
So, you know, basically your first two picks, and all offseason were like, May, Polk could be your next Burrow and Chase potentially. To exaggerate it a little bit.
Well, they look kind of like him yesterday.
They look like the Burrow and Chase from yesterday. That's true. And so Mayo got a ton out of the Bill guys yesterday.
Yep.
Yo, look who was flying around. Jonathan Jones with the big hit. Joe Cardona's bombing down the field and forcing a fumble. They signed Duggar.
Schooler's everywhere.
They signed Duggar, which I wasn't a huge fan of. Ramondre Stevenson. Like, everybody who performed well yesterday. Keon White is a Bill draft pick.
Onwenu had a good game.
They're all Bill guys. Yep. And Mayo got more out of them yesterday than Bill had now for a few years.
Yeah, I just think it was one of those, it was time to move on. You know, it's not a slap in the face to Bill's entire run here. Like Terry Francona is another example. At the end of Terry Francona's time in Boston, it was time. The message wasn't getting through or whatever. Like, clubhouse had changed. Does that mean he was a bad manager with them or he was a bad manager going forward? No. He went to Cleveland, had a lot of success.
That means it was time.
Yeah, there's like a shelf life. In some sports, it seems like it might be quicker than others. I mean, Bill far extended any kind of shelf life you have in any of the professional sports for 20-plus years. It was just time for a change, especially because he was the only guy, excuse me, in the NFL that had total control, had roster, player, staff, everything was just through him. And when you have multiple bad seasons and really no end in sight, it was time to move on. But I think one real positive is it seems like Jerod Mayo, even though he was by no means the unanimous selection amongst the fan base, it seems like the players are on board. It's one game, but the players are pretty pumped to be playing for Jerod Mayo,
And I agree. You say it's one game. It's true. It's easy when you're 0-0, I said all offseason.
Yeah.
Never mind now when you're 1-0. But guys were saying they're ready to run through a wall for Jerod Mayo. And I think I think you saw that yesterday.
Gatorade bath.
We haven't even talked about that.
Nice little Gatorade bath.
That was a nice Gatorade bath yesterday for Jerod Mayo. And so the Patriots were ready to run through a wall for their coach. And we can get to this later on. It feels like the Bengals were the opposite. Like they're all like 1 foot out the door on that organization, it felt like, given some of the contractual squabbles. So that was a big difference yesterday, along with the Patriots setting a tone and an edge, which we saw all day long. It's Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We're joined on a Patriots Monday by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, how we doing? How's it feel to be 1-0 to start a year?
It feels good, man.
Some of us were not necessarily counting you guys and giving you a big chance in that game yesterday. I know Jerod Mayo has come out and said he doesn't pay a lot of attention to the narratives, the conversations outside the building. Do you have a message to anybody who's been doubting the Patriots?
It's one game, man. But, you know, obviously we don't like to listen to everything, but you can't ignore it also. I mean, obviously we were underdogs and everybody saw us as underdogs around the league. And so it's just a chance for us to go out there and prove ourselves. We know what we have in this building. We know what we have, like, just internally here. We know the work we put in. So it was just time to go out there and put it on the field.
Hunter, you ended up having one of the biggest plays on offense, and it wasn't a touchdown. It could have been, but it was a near pick in the end zone, but you had to go from offense to defense kind of in a split second. Can you take us through that play?
Yeah, it was just a corner route. You know, Cove's got pressured, so it was a tough throw. I probably could have run my route a little better, so it's something I'm going to learn from week one and hopefully apply to the rest of the season. But, yeah, I mean, there's different things I could have probably done better. But at the same time, at that point, I mean, that was a big play in the game. Just needed to find a way. Honestly, I was trying to wrestle it away, see if I could catch it or grab it, snatch it away. But, you know, that was a big play so that we could get points.
You guys had a huge final drive with Ramondre Stevenson getting the ball time and time again, just running it right down the Bengals' throats. How does that feel? To be out there and running the football the way you guys did all day yesterday, and especially to close out a game?
Oh, it was huge. You know, in the past, I just feel like we hadn't been able to finish a game in a while, you know, with the ball in our hands and, you know, end it on our terms. So that was a huge feeling for us. I mean, our offensive line really came off the ball, played well. Madre ran really, really hard. You know, it's easy when you have a guy like Madre who's running like he is, it's a box for him because he just needs a sliver and just a little bit of space, and he's going to make it work. So, you know, credit to those guys. I mean, they play their tails off.
What's it like going on the road in an environment which has the, you know, chance to be really, really loud and just going crazy for their team, but then kind of shut them up? And it felt like for a lot of that game, the fans in Cincinnati were pretty quiet.
Yeah, I mean, it was it definitely was hostile, especially early. I mean, honestly, even once they started coming back a little bit in the second half, it was definitely rowdy in there. But, you know, road games are always fun, man. You can always thrive in them. It's just, honestly, you and your boys against everybody in that whole place. So you got to kind of thrive on that, and you got to love it.
Talking to Hunter Henry, Patriots tight end, here on a Patriots Monday on Jones and Keefe. I was reading some of the Twitter reaction post-game. Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald described the locker room as an absolute scene. And I think he was on the outside listening, but music blaring, cheers, chants. What was the scene inside the locker room like after starting 1-0 yesterday in Cincinnati?
Just a ton of excitement, man. We put a lot of work in, so you know, we go out there to win football games and to get a big win on the road in this league is tough to do. And to start the year off 1-0 is always a good thing.
I don't know what kind of relationship you have with Mike Gesicki, but can you give him any crap for doing the gritty on a non-touchdown?
Nah, man, I talked to him after the game, before and after the game, but, man, that was tough. Honestly, from my eyes, I thought he pulled it down, so I was just like, man, that was a tough grab. But thankfully, they called it the other way for our sake. But you know, Mike's a great player, man. I loved playing with Mike last year. Really enjoyed my time with him.
You working on any touchdown celebrations? Anything? Not necessarily the gritty, but you got any good celebrations planned?
Nothing planned, man. I learned early on, man. You plan too much for myself, at least. You plan too much, you might not get in there. So you do too much planning for the celebration, you're probably not going to get in the end zone. So, I try to just focus on the structure of trying to get into the end zone first.
Well, congrats to your SEC as well. The latest poll, with the addition of Texas joining the SEC, six of the top seven teams in the country are all in the SEC. So, yeah, you're not joking about big boy football there.
Yeah, I know. Arkansas, unfortunately, man, we freaking were up 24-7 on the road or something like that.
Don't want to bring that up.
Come back. So, golly, that was tough. That was a tough Saturday, whatever. I missed, like, the whole second half when we were taking off on the plane to go to Cincy, we were up. I was like, man, this could be nice when we land. Then we land and we lost. I'm like, oh, man, what the heck?
Gerard Mayo, another SEC guy. When it comes to the differences with him this season, and I mean compared to Bill, not differences in Gerard, what were some of the things that were different out there? It seemed like you guys were, especially on defense, flying around. On offense, you had an edge as well. What were some of the differences that Gerard has brought to the table here now that we're a week in?
He just understands us in a lot of ways too. I mean, he was in our shoes. He knows how to communicate with us. He knows the right things, to say, but also just the scheduling and how things flow in a week. Just think he did a great job, and he's doing a great job of, understanding us as players. He's been here. He's also been a coach under Bill. So he's got a mixture of being a coach under Bill, but also, being a player and being in our shoes. So he knows both sides of it.
All right. Hunter Henry, Patriots tight end on a Patriots Monday. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week, Hunter. Hopefully when you guys are 2-0.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Hunter Henry joining us here, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Perfecting the art of fresh.
Huge play by him, though, in the end zone.
It was.
And especially if you're going to play this style where the defense is going to be so key and just not turning it over. Like, really, the big difference in the game is the two costly turnovers where they happen for Cincinnati versus a clean game by the Patriots. But it was that close to not being a clean game. And nearly an interception in the end zone. And, Hunter Henry, ultimate team guy, saying maybe he also could have ran his route better. But wasn't the best throw. But he came through, and because that was that close to being picked off. And if it wasn't for him fighting all the way to the ground with it, like, that's what allowed them to keep that drive going.
No, it's true. He's a team guy, even to the point where he's sticking up for Mike Gesicki on the other team.
just a good dude.
Looking like a horse's ass out there grittying around. So that's Hunter Henry. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app. You can check it out, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Full interview up on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You can check it out there. We'll get into your phone calls, all your thoughts on a Patriots win, starting 1-0, 16-10 yesterday in Cincinnati, 617-779-7937. We talked about Jacoby Brissett and how long he can hold Drake May off for. It was not a great weekend for rookie quarterbacks. So are the Patriots right in their handling of Drake May? Let's get to it with your thoughts next.
Yeah, man, I think I cried three times before the game. Cry when I got to the stadium, cry when Mayo came up to me and before the game, and he like started laughing. He's like, man, you're about to win us this game, you're about to ball out. And I had never heard that from a coach, and that meant a lot to me. And then I cried when I got out there and we're going out there on offense. But my emotions were definitely high. It's definitely a moment that I just can't take it for granted. These things don't come by often. And like I said, I don't take it for granted.
Jacoby Brissett, an emotional Jacoby Brissett.
Are you crying?
Following the game yesterday.
That's a big win. Hey, big win.
That's a lot of crying on the field, is it not?
It's a good amount of crying, but if that's what it takes.
I guess.
Normally I would say, all right, maybe ease up a little bit on it, but if that leads to a victory, shed those tears.
I guess that's
Go
true.
Go ahead. Let it fly.
Real men cry.
That's right.
Do they cry that much? I guess we can debate. It feels like a lot of crying on a football Sunday.
Yeah.
But obviously it meant a lot, all kidding aside, to Jacoby Brissett. And I think he was fine yesterday. I want to emphasize that word.
Right.
Fine. He didn't put up big numbers. The game also didn't ask him to put up big numbers.
Well, that's why I would say good enough. Maybe it's the same thing that
fine,
we're saying.
Good enough, whatever.
He was good enough because he didn't turn it over. Part of it was Hunter Henry bailing him out in the end zone, but he didn't turn it over. And he did pick up big first downs with his legs, which we didn't think was going to be a strength of Jacoby Brissett's at all.
I often described him as a statue. I thought he was going to be a dead duck sitting back there. He moved way better than I expected.
He moved significantly better, and it was at like crushing times for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, we got them bottled up. We were good on first and second down. Now we can just get off the field, and that guy's picking it up. That guy's scrambling. That'd be like the equivalent of like Tom Brady picking up multiple first downs.
Yeah.
And he was able to do that. You know, they didn't move the ball deep down the field too much. He completed, you know, whatever, enough of his passes. But we sort of said if they play a completely clean game and play well defensively, that would be their only chance. I didn't think they were going to be able to put it all together the way that they did, but so I was wrong, and those guys were right.
Let's get more into the Patriots and their quarterback plan with Drake May. Like, were all of us wanting to play Drake May? Are we wrong? And are the Patriots onto something with their plan? Are they onto something organizationally? Robert Kraft picking Jerod Mayo, Elliott Wolf trading away Judon, the players he picked, etc. You can jump in on it, 617-779-7937. We already talked to Hunter Henry here on a Patriots Monday. If you missed any of that, Odyssey app or up on YouTube, subscribe to WEEI. We'll talk to Juwan Bentley a little after noontime here on WEEI. We'll also talk to Andrew Whitworth, Thursday Night Football. He's an analyst there for Prime Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Patriots. He's a former Bengal, as Keith pointed out. So we'll do that in the 11 o'clock hour, about a half an hour from now. Let's go to Bob in New Hampshire. What's up, Bob?
Hey, love you guys' show. Been listening to it all the time, morning, afternoon, everything.
Sure.
But I got a bone to pick with all you guys at WDEI.
Okay.
You guys for the last 4 weeks have been saying the Patriots are going to go 0-17. I never bet against my Patriots. I had a huge parlay going. I had a huge parlay going, 13 picks. I got every one of them right except for the Patriots game because you guys convinced me they were going to lose.
Well, wait a minute. You never bet against
your
team,
but now
all of a sudden you did. You can't blame us for that, Bob.
Because you guys convinced me they were going to lose, telling me they can't do it. Oh, Jacoby Brissett was not going to be good at all. He was going to get hurt. All this stuff was being thrown in, first-year coach Jerod Mayo and everything. And you actually convinced me to bet on the Bengals, and I lost that huge parlay.
Bob, here's what you do.
No way you got 12 other picks right, Bob.
Email adam.jones@odyssey, and I'll replenish your buy-in there. Send me an email because I appreciate that we're so convincing.
I guess so.
We convinced you to bet against the Patriots for the first time in your life.
The first time in my life, but I got to tell you, I love you guys. Right, I just had to give you a hard time about that.
All right. Well, all good. Hey, listen, Bob, I'm also out of the Survivor League here. I was so excited to be a part of a Survivor League. Boom, week one, I'm out.
Keith put his money where his mouth was. Yeah,
I did. I did not think it was going to happen.
All right, Bob, shoot me an email. I'll replenish that.
Jones will Venmo you your unit.
I'll make sure you're made whole. But Keith, we're so convincing. That's how convincing we are. Really, at the end of the day, he wanted to give us a hard time. It's really a compliment at the end.
And listen, I think I had him at 3 wins, not 0 wins. Let's not get overboard.
I was going to say the same thing. I had them the other day at 6. I had them at 6.
No, yeah, you were.
So that's
not
0-17. It was not a good record.
And credit to you, I will say, you were the one that was pushing back when I said they had no chance to win. You were saying they have no chance to win.
In fairness, it was a bit squirrely by me. I had Patriots in the points. I didn't exactly predict a win.
But that's still a step in the right direction.
It is.
Rather than just losing.
It is. You know what? It is a step in the right direction. Thank
just
you, Rich.
Take it,
thank
for
you.
God's sake.
Thank you. On Drake May, who did not play yesterday. We were all bitching and complaining about it last week. I still kind of half want to do that. It is fair to acknowledge rookies were terrible yesterday. Yesterday. You ready for the numbers?
Yeah, they were bad.
Caleb Williams won the game.
W.
Not because of anything.
No, he was trash. My wife might be right. Did I tell you she saw a little bit of Hard Knocks? And she's like, this guy's going to stink.
He's not going to make it.
I was like, all right.
Which, you know, I appreciate the take there. Caleb Williams, 14 out of 29, 93 yards.
How's that possible?
In a whole game.
Yep.
15 rushing yards, he fumbled.
Wow.
Jaden Daniels was the best of the bunch.
Yeah, he at least had some highlights. He also had some lowlights, but he looked good for a couple of plays.
17 out of 24, that's good. 184 yards, not so good.
No.
88 rush yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, but a lot of it was garbage and they were down.
Yeah.
You know? That's a lot of it.
How about my guy?
Bo Nix, your guy.
Yeah.
26 out of 42.
A lot of attempts.
138, two picks. One of them was brutal. Atrocious. I didn't watch the whole game, but
no,
one
of them was atrocious.
One was
I think
so
Adam Archuleta gasped like in the broadcast booth. He was like, oh, no. Like before it even got picked off, he was just like, you can't do that.
35 rush yards. How about that? And a rushing touchdown.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he got in the end zone, but like, no, it wasn't a great start.
Now,
but that's also, I don't look at that being like, that's why you don't play him. No. Like, no. They're going to have their issues, okay. And like maybe they can work their way out of it.
Okay, I agree with that. I think those guys are all going to learn and yeah, maybe not Bo Nix so much, but they'll bounce back because of it.
He's going to be great.
But yeah, it's just everybody who was saying play Brissett. The Patriots won. All those two of those teams didn't. Caleb Williams played horribly. They had to score twice on defense and special teams to win that game. Mm-hmm. So nothing that Williams did.
No.
It's a feather in the cap for them. Let's follow it, and let's see how Jacoby Brissett does against the same Seattle defense that Bo Nix just crapped the bed against yesterday. And we'll follow that.
Right.
617-779-7937. Juwan Bentley in the noontime hour. We have What Happened?
What Happened?
Week one of the NFL coming your way. 11:25-ish. We'll talk to Andrew Whitworth next hour as well. Get his thoughts on the Patriots starting 1-0. He's a Thursday Night Football analyst for Prime Sports. Stay tuned. We'll also get to the Patriots and how much we should raise their ceiling after winning yesterday in Cincinnati. That's next.